The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Pensions are one of those things that people sometimes just they don't want to talk about them. And I always wonder, is it down to the fear of admitting that one day you're going to be old and you're going to need support and you're going to need to be able to do something? But the younger you are, the less likely you are to take pension seriously, despite people coming on the radio and telling you need to look at your pension now. So the government tried to do something with auto-enrolment, and that's going to be up and running by next year. The bill is being introduced in the Oireachtas early in 2023. But there are things that some people think aren't working properly. So I'm joined in our studio in Dublin by the retired actuary and past president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland, Colm Fagan. Colm, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I mean, there is something about pensions that makes people just run away with their hands in the air, isn't there?
I think there is, yeah. I think that as an industry, we have overcomplicated it. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to do, to bring it back to the essentials, that when you're working, you just accumulate the savings from yourself and your employer, and in the case of the auto enrolment from the state, and you build up your pension pot, and then you hope to earn as high a rate of interest return as you can, and then you start drawing down from it when you retire. But the government have made it far more complicated now than needs to be the case with the way that they have structured it. They haven't taken that simple way of doing it.
Okay, and we'll get into the detail on it now. The auto-enrolment scheme. So the theory on this is there will be those who just won't make provision for a pension, and they think that somehow the state will pick up the slack, when in reality we're facing into a hefty bill when my generation and a generation behind me start getting to the point at which they're retiring. So they're forcing, effectively, the point of this is you're being forced into a pension programme whether you like it or not, isn't it?
Well, the government, I think, wouldn't say that they're forcing you into it. It's, I think they're doing this nudge, which is a big psychological thing they're into now, that they encourage you, and that you're in unless you opt out. You can always opt out of it, but you're in unless you opt out.
Right. So what is auto-enrolment, and how will it affect people right now who may or may not be part of a pension scheme?
Yeah, it's, well, for people who are not in a, what they call a reasonable pension scheme, and we could talk forever about maybe what a reasonable pension scheme is, but generally for the people in smaller employers who don't have any pension entitlement, and it is to encourage them to save for their retirement. And the way that it's done is, in fairness, the government are doing it on a gradual basis. You just 1.5% of your earnings up to 70,000 or whatever the figure is in the first 3 years, then gradually increasing up to what they think is the amount that will be required for an adequate pension. And that's where I would disagree with the government on what is the amount required for an adequate pension.
Well, Colm, you're an actuary, so your knowledge of figures is better than mine, but it's kind of difficult to work out what is going to be adequate by the time we retire. What might seem adequate now could be in the poorhouse by the time we get to retirement.
Yeah, I think, well, the problem with the government's proposals is that they're saying that the money will be accumulated during people's working years, and they will have all sorts of protections there available for people to help to ensure that the costs and charges are kept to a minimum, and the returns will do the best as either trustees or directors, depending on the structure, but it's mainly directors. They're charged with looking after people. But then, under the government's proposals, as they are now, what happens when they come to retirement age? They're turfed out and they're left completely on their own, and that's when they're at their most vulnerable, and they're giving no help or support whatsoever from retirement date onwards. And I speak as someone who, I'm now retired for 10 years now, inverted commas retired, and people now, I'm able to cope, but people who don't have my sort of knowledge, they need the help in retirement, and the government is not offering them that help. It's saying, once you get to, we'll give you all the help and supports and everything you need while you're working, but as soon as you're retired, bye-bye, baby, you are on your own, and you're there, you're prey to all of the charges and the commissions and everything that are out there and for people looking for you. So all I'm saying is, look, they should stay in the scheme after they retire, and draw down from it and earn the higher returns and have the lower charges. And I'm saying that the contribution required for an adequate pension, we can talk a bit about the adequate, falls from 6% to 3.9% of earnings.
And what is it now? 1.5%?
Well, no, they're saying that it starts at 1.5 and builds up gradually every 3 years. 1.5 to 3 to 4.5 to 6. I'm saying it doesn't need to go any more than 3.9% if they do it properly.
If they do it properly. Now, if I know just from my own experience of pensions that you have pensions advisors and you go to that pensions advisor and they are accredited and they are regulated and you ask them and they'll ask you a series of questions with your high, low risk, whatever. For someone who's auto-enrolled, they haven't gone to a pensions advisor. So what scheme do you get auto-enrolled to? I mean, do you have a choice in it?
Well, the government proposes these so-called default funds. To help people. And the default funds work on this principle that when you're younger, you can take higher risks, and when you're older, you take less risks. And so they have people in equities or higher risk and hopefully higher return funds when they're younger. And then as they get older, they move to more conservative funds. Now, but the other side of that coin is that the return that you can expect to get keeps falling. So that by the time people come to retirement age, that's when their fund has the maximum earning power. They are told to have their foot off the gas completely, and they lose so much in earnings. So what I'm saying is that if you can pool the money in a way that, and you know, probably a little too technical to talk on the radio now, but I'm saying if you can merge and group people's monies together of new people and retired people, you can ensure that everyone can earn those higher returns always, and you can earn so much more, which then allows the contribution to be reduced significantly.
The problem, though, pensions are not by their nature equitable. If you put more into your pension fund, then you're going to have a better return on the far side. So people who have money have nice pension funds. You know, we always talk about public sector pensions being rather gilt-lilied as well. Not everybody's going to benefit from that. So again, we come back to the basic provision of, like, the state pension, let's assume, isn't going to make you rich and you're not going to benefit from it. But how do we decide whether a 65-year-old is going to be able to survive in what is an auto-enrolled lumped-in pension that maybe as many as half million people might be on?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that, Jonathan, but all I'm saying is, and my point is fairly limited on this, it's saying that whatever amount they're contributing, they can get the best bang for their buck by doing a completely different thing to what the government is proposing that they do.
Mm. And you're also leaving them, if at 65 they're turfed out of the scheme, or 66 they're turfed out of the scheme, what about let's just say that not everybody is an upstanding citizen who has the best interests of the public at heart, that you might have the equivalent of ambulance chasers coming along saying, oh, look, I'll give you the best return here. Now, there's something down the bottom of the form. Don't read that bit. But look, I look after you and give your immediate needs. And then they find out in 10 years' time, they're goosed, that the money's all gone because it's been absorbed in fees. So you're almost throwing them out to the Wild West by what you're saying.
That's what the government is saying. That, as I said, that at the moment, their plans at the moment say everything has to be taken in. It's crazy that you have under what is supposed to be a pension scheme, they're saying everything has to be taken as a lump sum at retirement. And then you go out, as you say, find someone to advise you on something. I'm saying, no, don't do it that way. Now, in fairness to the government, they have said, we may include a provision at a later stage to allow for a pension in retirement. But the analogy I've put with that is a bit like designing a car and say, we have an accelerator and a cruise control, but we don't have a braking system in it, and that we might design a braking system at a later stage. I'm saying you have to integrate the whole thing from the very start.
The other thing that I find fascinating is that it is 23. That's the figure they've chosen to bring people in at. Why 23? Is it because you're deemed to be starting earning money at that point?
Oh, the quick answer is I don't know, Jonathan. I'd say
it's just an arbitrary
I don't know. I mean, I say, I'm just commenting on one aspect. I can't claim to be an expert on things like working patterns and when people start contributing to pensions or not. But I'm just taking what they are, and I'm just taking on one narrow aspect of it, which is how to get the best bang for your buck once you're saving for your pension scheme.
Colm, you describe yourself as retired, but not really. Are you enjoying retirement is the question. It sounds like you're still keeping your finger on the pulse.
I am, I really am enjoying it. Yeah, because with a good friend of mine, Brian Woods, who's also a retired actuary, we presented a paper last November, on some of these products that which you were sort of alluding to vaguely a few minutes ago, on the fact that the way that they're being advertised, the way they're being marketed, there's a lot of things that are not nice about the way things are being sold to people who have savings accumulated for their retirement, who are wanting to get a safe home for it. And you know, there are some very good advisors out there, but there are some very poor ones as well. And what I'm trying to avoid is people, once they're retired, being exposed to all the risks that there are out there to people, and that there is a better way to do it.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Colm Fagan, retired actuary, past president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.